Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've been able to join us today. Last week we had some special guests. We had Isaac from Indonesia, and we had my daughter Rebecca, and they are still in the studio with us for a second round to talk more about what's happening in other parts of the world in Indonesia. So I just want to welcome back Pastor Isaac Wandaway from Indonesia. Thank you, Isaac, for being on the show again.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, and Rebecca, thank you so much for coming in. This is my daughter, and she has a lot to say because she usually travels with me, and we do missions together and do life together. So I'm honored to have Rebecca in the studio as well.
Yeah, thank you.
So last week, we talked a little bit about what's happening in Indonesia as a whole, and that was an exciting opportunity to have you, Pastor Isaac, into the studio. As a matter of fact, listeners, if you want to go back and hear a great discussion about what's happening in Indonesia and what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, really maybe even breaking some of your preconceived ideas about living in a Muslim nation, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast. You can head to our website at legacyandfaith.com, and all of our past podcasts are there, but specifically this one because they're playing off of each other. And so this week, what I really want to focus on, again, is not the legacy component, not the estate planning side of what we talk about a lot, but rather the faith side. We want to take another opportunity. Isaac is only in Seattle for a couple days, so I wanted to really leverage this opportunity to get your voice in your heart for Indonesia. And so some of the things that we talked about is that I think people are under a misguided perception, right? A preconceived idea of what does it mean to live in a Muslim nation. Are you familiar with the stats, Isaac? I don't mean to put you on the spot. We actually didn't talk about this, but are you familiar with what the statistics are as far as how many, what percentage of Indonesia is actually practicing Muslims? It's rather high, right? Over 90%?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And now you live in Jakarta. This is one thing that we did not talk about. We talked a lot about Papua, which is over right next to Papua New Guinea. Mm-hmm. But you actually live in Jakarta,
yeah.
And you have a church there. You've planted 17 other churches, so this is number 18 for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you raise up leaders and you hand off the church.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, you have a church in Jakarta.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the church in Jakarta, specifically in a big city.
Yeah, in the big city, it's not different like you are in Seattle and different place. Sometimes people just freaking out because they think they go to Indonesia. But
right.
Everything is same. But the point, you can still feel attention when you go out and share the gospel. It's not we facing right away, and when people, they don't like it, they come from different, they will contra you in certain way. But it's everything is good. God doing something. We know we have to facing the persecution. But this good thing is I'm see people hunger even in Jakarta.
Mm.
Most of them I focus in the Papuan people. They went to university. It's what God's put in my heart to next leader in Papua and Indonesia too. But the point is when you go over there, you have to know when you're talking, because this one is people know from YouTube and everything information. You have to know and based on the biblical principle you share, but the other thing, they cannot refuse if you tell about experience how God changing your life. They
right.
cannot avoid you.
Yeah, that's right. And as a matter of fact, a lot of what you and I talk about mm-hmm. is that a lot of our Christianity here in the States is theoretical, and it really may not demonstrate the manifestation of what we see in the Bible any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very unfortunate. But maybe in a place like Indonesia where there's more opposition, where you have to stand up for your faith, and where the whole political system, mm-hmm. there's counter-political systems in Indonesia. So when you are facing a Muslim culture, mm-hmm. a Muslim thought process, mm-hmm. your Christianity has to be that much stronger, does it not?
Yep.
And so, so what are some of the things that you've been teaching lately in your church in Jakarta? So what are some of the things that you see your people need in order to live this successful Christian life?
Yeah, I got experience last time when you came in December. And this is in all my life, and I see how walking with the faith, it's really, really changing my perspective. And now one thing is going on, and God opened the door. Because when we, sometimes we're thinking God is punish us, you know, sometimes.
That he punishes us,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes we're thinking like that. But the point is he loves us.
Yes, he does.
And Bible says in Galatians 5, they say, love, faith is activated by love. And after through the study, what you said, it's opened my life to see how powerful when you wake up in the morning. Right now, it's my experience right now. You wake up in the morning. Sometimes we're thinking we need to pray.
Right.
We need to make God is happy.
Right.
But you know what? It's like when you wake up, God is wake up. Like it's my perspective because like he's already there with you.
Yeah.
He loves you. It's your father. And it's turned me around to see amazing experience.
Yeah, that's good. So my daughter Rebecca is in the studio as well, and we'll get her voice coming up very shortly. And but yet, when my daughter was really little, she would meander into my bedroom, and she would just show up in my room, and she would then seek after my attention right away. And a lot of that was just the security. I need to know the comfort of my father. I need to know that he's there. And hey, by the way, I'm up, so somebody else should be up. Okay, yeah. So now that she's 23, she no longer wanders into my bedroom in the morning and just, you know, comes and says, hey, can you feed me? Can you? And yet, so as an earthly father, I don't have an expectation that all of a sudden she start her day or our relationship in a particular way, right? Yeah. We live life together because she's secure in the love of her father. Mm-hmm. And yet, isn't it interesting that in our Christianity, how we very quickly take on that role to say, well, I have to do something in order to earn, in order to elicit the love and affection of my heavenly father. But yet, so even this morning I woke up and I'm having breakfast and, drinking my coffee and my daughter walks down and she doesn't say good morning to me yet because she's still sleepwalking, you know, and I'm the first one who has to say, well, good morning. And then it's just like, oh yeah, good morning. See, there's no expectation of, in order for her to earn my affection.
Yes.
Why do we take on that role with our Heavenly Father that all of a sudden I've got to earn his affection somehow, right?
Yeah.
And so love, when we understand that faith works by love, in other words, it's his love that activates our faith.
Yes.
It's his love that that because we are loved, we can trust in him. We can move into him. And so we need to, as Christians, to constantly seek after and have that greater revelation that we are radically, radically loved. And so I'm glad that that message has influenced you. You know, as I look at 2 Peter, this is really something that you and I have discussed and really the ideology of this is what we want Papua to understand and get a hold of.
Yes.
And so if we look at 2 Peter, and as a reminder, this is like the Peter, right? You know, that Peter who walked with Jesus. Remember that Peter who stumbled over his tongue almost every other sentence in all four Gospels? The one who had his foot permanently stuck in his mouth? It was that Peter. It was the Peter who walked with Jesus for 3 straight years. It was the Peter who said, that'll never be, and Jesus rebuked Satan. It was that Peter who was audacious and led with his feelings and was bold in everything he was doing. It's the Peter that lived life with Jesus so that his faith was consistently line upon line, precept upon precept. It was developed by the Savior.
Yeah.
Now, if there's someone whose faith I want to maybe look at to say, well, you walked the walk. Your entire life was front and center for us to look at. And the mistakes that Peter made are astounding. As a matter of fact, I think most people very easily relate themselves to Peter. That somehow I'm walking down the street and I tripped over my own self again. My shadow was there, so I just tripped on it. I think we relate to Peter. Now listen to the wisdom of a more mature man in Christ. Listen to the wisdom of who he has become from the beginning, which we got the privilege of watching, into where he is. So he says, he starts off in 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So that's really important. Wow. He's talking to Gentiles, right? So mm-hmm. to the non-believers, to the infidels, we've got you. You have like faith. Okay. Well, so Peter is recognizing a specific type of faith in these people, a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is there anyone out there today that would like their grace and their peace to be multiplied unto them? Well, it comes by greater understanding and revelation and the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. And so he continues in verse 3, according to his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So I'm going to stop and kind of do a running commentary here just as we go along. So, believer, when you submit your life to Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need because of his divine power through his resurrected life in Christ Jesus. You have everything that you need to live this life of being godly and righteous before our King. And so I know that there's many of us who stumble and fall. I'm telling you, the divine power is within you, and it was won back by the victory of the cross. So verse 3 continues that we have all these things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge, there it is again, through the knowledge of him that has called us to his glory and excellence, whereby we are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. So we're given precious promises. That word precious means valuable and costly. So we can look at the promises, and they are the link between our godliness. They are the link between the virtue and excellence that Peter is talking about. That by these, by what? By the precious promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature. Divine, there it is again. There's two mentions of divine power and divine nature now. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. I want to ask us a question today. Do you want to escape the corruption of this world? How would you like to live a life that is free from the corrupt nature of this life? Well, that's what the gospel is offering us. It's a fullness of the gospel. It's not just a gospel of salvation. It's a gospel of us living and having escaped a corruption of this world so that we can partake in his promises, which then allows us to partake in his divine nature. So I want to talk about this scripture and how this is influencing and what this word coming to Papua is really about. We're up against a break, so don't run away. We'll be right back. You can head over to our website at legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us, whether it's for estate planning, whether it's for anything else that you may need. You can communicate there. And so head over to legacyandfaith.com, and we will be right back after these messages. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, and we're really talking about the biblical principles. We're not really relating them into legacy for today. We're talking more about the faith attribute than we are the legacy attribute. So I'm not wearing my attorney hat today. So we've taken that off. We left it at home. We're here with Pastor Isaac from Indonesia. And also, my daughter is here in studio as well. So we're going to start bringing in her voice here on the second half as well. So, Pastor Isaac, we headed into break and we talked about 2 Peter, about the opportunity for us to lean upon the divine promises that God has given us, that they're excellent and they're good, and that that can lead us to living a life that is excellent and more pure in Jesus Christ. So, talk to us about what are some of the things that you've seen in Indonesia, specifically with this heart, with this heart towards really wanting to see the manifested power of Jesus Christ in the life of those that you are raising up. What are some of the things you're seeing in Indonesia?
Back in December when you came and you shared about this principle, I got something that's totally blew my mind. And, you know, in the previous show, I have to work 2-3 jobs to make something to support the ministry and do other things.
Yeah.
Sometimes we thinking like the Bible is not correlated with our daily life. But right. This is what happened. When I got this one, we have difficulty and challenge how to finish the project, our parents' project. And I'm working like that. But the point is when you share about how you see the faith and you fully pursue it and see something like it, I stick on it. Sometimes when we stick on it and we find difficulty challenging, you know, devil, we tested us through the thing. But I keep focused, like you say. Like in your color of your shirt is yellow. It's like Bible says it's faith like that. We cannot say it's blue.
Right.
It's make me turn on and it's open the door. When you enter the realm, something like that, you just like go to different world and you facing God is like reality. Even just you thinking in your mind, you want something and it's something happened. Even though I came in state in here, yes, what I'm thinking, I want to meet the guy over there in the church and it's something happened and you just took me in the church and I see something like, oh my goodness. It's like I'm entered a new dimension of life. That is what the Bible says.
Yeah, this really isn't just an exercise of relationship. It's truly a relationship that God wants to intervene and show us how good he is and show us his love. And I was listening to another preacher this week, and he was talking about that. Jesus was saying that the signs that you seek from me. So remember when the Pharisees, they would come to Jesus several different times and say, we want a sign from you. And he goes, well, but the signs that I've already given point you to the right place. Right? And so as a road sign, that is intended to point us. That's really what the goodness of God is supposed to do. It's supposed to point us first to his goodness. Mm-hmm. Then through us living that life, our life becomes the road sign. It becomes the map of leading other people to the goodness and the glory of Jesus Christ. Yes. And that's really what our lives should be a reflection of at all times. Yeah. Now, Rebecca, you're going to be heading out into different places this summer because you want your life to be that constant sign of pointing people to a different place. Tell us about some of the adventures that you're going to be walking on this summer.
Yeah, so I'm actually partnering with an organization called Missions.me, founded by Dominic Russo. And so they are based out of California right now, and they have a trip every other year called One Nation, One Day. And so the goal of the trip is to influence and watch a nation change in one day. And so they had the question of, can that happen? Is it possible to do that and watch God move on such a huge scale? And so I will actually be going to Peru in a couple of days for One Nation, One Day 2019.
And where in Peru are you going to be specifically? Because that's really the coolest part.
I'll be on the Amazon River.
You're going to be on the Amazon River. Okay,
yes.
So that's going to be tough. Yeah, that's kind of like every missionary's dream. I want to go on the Amazon River and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so now you get to go do it.
Yeah, so we actually have 10,000 missionaries and volunteers.
So say that number again. How many missionaries are going to enter into Peru in what, a 1 week or
a couple days, actually? Yeah.
Yeah.
We have 10,000.
10,000 missionaries in yeah. in 48 hours are going to descend upon Peru.
Yeah. So we haven't recorded a number that large in history that has gone to one place at the same time. And so this is making history that we are going to have 10,000 people go. And so it's actually 5,000 are local Peruvians. And so they have been preparing and being trained. And so they are already from Peru. And then we're going to have 5,000 out-of-country missionaries. And so out of that 5,000, we are representing 43 nations around the world that are coming and serving Peru.
And I want to stop, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but you're used to it. I want people to hear that, is that sometimes we think that Americans have to do it all. 43 different countries are going to be representing the gospel of Jesus Christ in Peru. There is a move of God around this world to send people to the nations.
Yeah.
And so I think that's fascinating that so many different nations are represented in one event. So,
It is unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So God is about to move in some big ways. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, so, I mean, there are so many more statistics that we have. I mean, I'm just one of 14 different boats that'll be going out on the Amazon River. And so our goal is to reach the different villages and towns that maybe you wouldn't be able to make it out to the big cities for the Crusades. And so we'll have 10 different stadium events throughout the country. And so we're reaching every part of Peru.
Yeah, fascinating. What an excellent ministry. And so I really wanted to give listeners, again, that perspective of what's happening through the world.
Yeah.
So many good ministries are actually going out and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and bringing the nations together. It's just so happens we get the privilege of doing it with Pastor Isaac in Indonesia for my family and I. But there's so much else going on in the body of Christ right now. And the gospel is going out like it never has before. And so then, Rebecca, you're going to be coming back, and for a couple of days, then you're going to be heading down to Bethel Church for 2 weeks of worship. So tell the listeners a little bit about Bethel Worship School.
Yeah, so Bethel offers a 2-week intensive program. And so I believe we're going to have about 800 students this year. So we pack the house, and it's just an opportunity to sharpen your craft and to get more tools and information. And so we usually start the day with an hour of worship led by Bethel's own team. And then we have main sessions. And so last year, they actually flew in Christine Kane, and we had Bill Johnson and all the different speakers from Bethel, and they talk on all kinds of topics, starting from forgiveness to emotional health, all the way to what it's like to actually lead worship and be on the platform and how to use that for Jesus's name instead of our own spotlight. And so you then are able to go out and break out into smaller sessions, and you get to pick the classes that you want to take and learn piano or the audio tech side. And so it's a great opportunity.
Great. And then you and I, this trip at the very end of August, we're going to be connecting with Isaac. Isaac, mm-hmm. we only have a couple minutes left in our show. Mm-hmm. So what do you envision for us to be doing when we head back to Papua at the end of the summer here?
Yeah, you know, we did before in last year, and people so exciting to waiting for you guys coming, because last time we built up the faith that people, they can be entrepreneur, and you know, they can stand up, be a success people. But right now we want to hit the more bigger than just like that. We want everybody to come and in the conference, and we want to see the faith. We want to build their faith to see something.
Yeah,
bigger.
Really the church at large, and then maybe hopefully that spills out into the community
yes.
as well. So
mm-hmm.
Rebecca and actually another Indonesian, they're going to be giving another concert.
Yes.
As kind of the capstone of our entire time together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a really exciting time for us to come back and
yep.
yet re-sow more of the word so that you can continue to plow and water that word and grow
yep.
up
yep.
people in Indonesia.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for joining me on the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so blessed that you guys have been in studio with me. So thank you so much for coming in. And thank you for listening to today's edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. If you're interested in what we do, whether it's estate planning, whether it's what we're doing on missions, then head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us. There's upcoming educational sessions on estate planning that are also available. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. And thank you so much. God bless you. And thank you for listening to the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.